Please stay tuned, and at the end of the program, we'll let you know where to send your questions for Dave and Tom to respond to in a future Contending for the Faith. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now, our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures, and we continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation. Here again are Dave and Tom.
We're in the Gospel of John, and currently we're in chapter 7 and picking up with verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." They're wrestling with a few things here.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, if you go back to verse 19, Jesus said, "Why go ye about to kill me?" And they say, "You have a devil. Who's going about to kill you? You're dreaming this up." Well, now people are saying, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill?" And he's speaking boldly. Well, we know that the rabbis, the leaders, the religious leaders, they're out to get him. Mm-hmm. They're out to arrest him. They're out to kill him. But they're not doing anything. How come? Well, because as the scripture doesn't say it here, but as it says in other places, his time had not yet come. They couldn't do it. They sent, when we get to chapter 11, we'll find that the Pharisees send officers to take him. And when Jesus speaks, they're just dumbfounded, and they go back, and the Pharisees say, "Why didn't you take him?" They said, "No man ever spake like that man." So, yes, they want to kill him, but on the other hand, they're vacillating, and they don't know exactly how to do it. Sometimes they're afraid of the multitude, because sometimes the multitude is in favor of Christ. But they go on and argue, "Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ..."
Let me back up a little bit. But in verse 26, they say, "Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?"
Mm-hmm. No, they don't. They're not willing.
No. Do these people know? In other words, we're finding them. Just keep flip-flopping mm-hmm. back and forth.
Right. I think maybe the rulers suspected it, but mm-hmm. they did not want to acknowledge it. They wanted to maintain their own position, mm-hmm. as you get again in chapter 11. Isn't it expedient that one man die and the nation survive? And if you let this man go on, the Romans will take away our position. So this is what they're concerned about. And then we come to verse 27, where it says, "We know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Well, that wasn't true. Micah 5:2 said he would be born in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. It indicated that he would be in Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles would see great light. But as far as his origin, whence he is, that would refer to his birthplace. And that had to be known. And the scripture said it would be Bethlehem. Now, part of the problem, perhaps, was because Joseph, being warned of God in a dream, it says, when Herod was out to kill the babies, mm-hmm. out to kill the Messiah.
So Herod had some understanding of when this king would come.
The rabbis told him. Mm-hmm. They said he would be born in Bethlehem. So Herod goes to Bethlehem and has all the babies killed from 2 years old and younger, just to make sure. Because the wise man, whom he asked to come back when they found the babe and tell him where he was, they were warned of God to get out of there. And so Herod feels betrayed by them. He doesn't know who this child is. He's going to kill every child from under 2 years of age, just for good measure, make sure he doesn't miss anyone. But they knew, and they knew that Christ had not been born in Nazareth. When he came back, they fled to Egypt to get away from this slaughter. And then when they came back, they settled down in Nazareth. But the scripture said he would be called a Nazarene also. Anyway, it simply isn't true that no one would know whence Christ was. In fact, the Old Testament prophets gave us so much insight and gave so many prophecies so that you couldn't possibly fail to recognize the Messiah when he came. They had all of this, but they were not willing.
Dave, let me address something here. People who read the Bible, they want things to be as simple as it can be, so they come up with the idea that, well, the Bible says everything in it is true. Thy word is truth, Jesus says, and other scriptures, the entirety of thy word is true, the psalmist writes, and so on. But we do have some things in here that are either misunderstandings or just what Satan says is not true. So we have to be diligent in searching the word and be familiar with it enough to recognize when somebody's slipping something in here.
Know who is speaking. You can't quote everything in the Bible as being true because sometimes others are speaking, not the servants of God, not the prophets, but others, even sometimes they're critics, and they're presenting ideas. Let's think, for example, of Job's comforters. Job's comforters, so-called, come, and they say a lot. Now, is all of everything they say inspired of God? I don't think so, but we have it recorded. We have what the rabbis said in accusation against Jesus and so forth, in accusation against Paul.
Back to Job's counselors, though. Wouldn't it be that many things that they say, it sounds like it comes from other parts of Scripture, so it has its truth in the sense that they're principles, true principles, but the application was completely, they missed the mark with that, big time. They applied things to Job that did not apply. So they took a truth, but they just missed the boat with it.
Now Christ, verse 28 says, "Then cried Christ in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come." So Christ is acknowledging, yeah, you know where I come from, my hometown. My mother's husband was a carpenter there. Apparently he's dead at this time. I've been there as a carpenter and so forth, but I didn't come here on my own, but someone sent me. In other words, his very birth into this earth was on a mission from the Father, and they don't like that. They understand somewhat what he's saying, and they're going to get him. They sought to take him, it says. It's an interesting statement. A number of times in Scripture it says he walked right through the mob that was trying to take him. He could do that, but there came a time when he allowed the mob to take him and bind his hands, not that that could have held him, and take him to the chief priests. Then they took him to Pilate. Pilate beats him, scourges him, mocks him, and so forth. That time would come, but now his hour was not yet come, and they cannot lay hands on him. But it goes on, it says in many, verse 31, many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Well, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So
it's obvious here that somebody is moving in on their territory, and they may be losing control of the people, which has been a problem with institutional religion from the get-go, from the smallest cult to the largest church organization.
Tragically, that's the case. Religion is an attempt to gain power over people's lives. You have the rules. You dispense the rules. They can only get to heaven through you. They have to follow what the church says or the institution or the guru and so forth, and that gives them power as well as wealth. Jesus deals with that in Matthew 23. So that, again, is the situation here. And the Pharisees are determined to get rid of him, but at this point they're not able to do so because it was not time for him to be nailed to the cross. That was coming.
Dave and Tom will resume their discussion on the topic of salvation next week. We hope you can join us. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. And now, to tell you more about our ministry, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
The name the Berean Call is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, where we find the Apostle Paul entering the synagogue in the Greek city of Berea after he had just come from Thessalonica. To these Bereans, he preached that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah sent from God. They were commended for being noble or fair-minded, not only for their willingness to hear what Paul had to say about the matter, but more specifically because they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether or not what the apostle was saying was found in God's Word. That's what we hope to encourage through this ministry. Our mission is to alert believers in Christ to unbiblical teachings and practices impacting the church. We want to exhort believers to give greater heed to biblical discernment and truth regarding what they are accepting as spiritual. We hope to supply those who profess to be biblical Christians with information and materials that will encourage the love of God's truth. Hopefully, we can help mobilize believers in Christ to action in obedience to the scriptural command to earnestly contend for the faith, found in Jude 3. And finally, our prayer is that we can be used of God to stimulate Christians to look to the Bible alone as their rule of faith, authority, and practice in living lives pleasing to our Lord and Savior. Gary?
Books, tapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and other items are just some of the materials we make available for you serious students of God's Word. There's still time for you to take advantage of our special offer for new subscribers to our free monthly newsletter, The Berean Call. A free copy of Dave Hunt's new booklet, Battle for the Mind. This fascinating work addresses mind power and magic, evangelical mind science, paganism, hypnosis, Christian science, psychokinesis, mind control, psychic power, and much more. To believe that the mind can create its own universe is to step into the occult, where the demons that foster this belief will eventually destroy the soul. Unfortunately, millions in the West are accepting this mystical philosophy, forgetting that it is the very thing which has brought many deplorable conditions wherever it has been practiced. A free copy of this booklet for all new subscribers to our free monthly newsletter, The Berean Call. Just mention Search the Scriptures Daily and the call letters of this station. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 0152. Next week, Dave and Tom will continue their series of programs based on Dave Hunt's book, In Defense of the Faith. And why couldn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John get their story straight? If you lose something, don't panic. We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, has revelation already happened? We hope you can tune in. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily radio ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for joining us and invite you to tune in again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org.